Tuesday, July 7th, 2026. It is 6:01 p.m. I'm going to call the meeting to order. Present is myself, Gina Lyon, Marilyn Prue, Jacqueline Lorien, and Ed Barber from Newport Daily Express. Ellis Merchant is unfortunately not able to join us tonight. Online, we have VEPSA staff members, Amanda Seymard, Steve Furman, and Kylie Bray. Any changes to the agenda, additions, or deletions, Marilyn?
I don't have anything.
I have two things I'm going to add under action items. So letter G will be the Vermont Trappers Association request that we've received. And then the letter H will be the water wastewater adjustments approvals. Privilege of the floor. Ed, do you have anything, Jacqueline? Nothing. Perfect. Action items. Minutes from the regular Board of Trustees meeting dated June 3rd, 2026.
I thought they looked fine.
I did as well. So I'll make a motion to approve the minutes from the regular Board of Trustees meeting dated June 23rd, 2026 as presented.
I'll second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Motion passes. Minutes from the special Board of Trustees meeting dated June 30th, 2026.
I thought those also looked good.
Okay, I agree. I typed them. I'm going to make a motion to approve the minutes from the special Board of Trustees meeting dated June 30th, 2026 as presented.
I will second them.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Motion passes. Thank you. Moving right on along, letter F, electric rate case, our team's meeting with our VEPSA partners. Steve, Kylie, Amanda, thanks for joining us tonight. Got your presentation, and I've got copies of it for Marilyn and so forth. So,
oh, all righty.
The floor is now yours.
I'll drive the bus. I'm going to share my screen first.
Okay.
Give me a second.
Yep.
All right. I'm seeing my screen.
Yep.
Yep.
All righty. That's
Can
a good
you guys
sign.
Hear this?
Off to a good start.
I have no idea.
Okay. So, as you can see, the rate increase turned out to be 13.73%. And it's applicable to all current rates effective September 1st, 2026, on a service rendered basis, which is assuming the July 16th, 2026 filing date. And Barton's last increase was about a year ago on a service rendered basis, August 1st, 2025, where Barton received a 4.12% increase. So just to talk about the Vermont state rules and filing a rate case, there are strict Vermont rules. They start with test year data, quote-unquote test year, and you're allowed to make, quote-unquote, known and measurable changes, K&M, to the test year to arrive at your rate year and your resulting rate increase percent. So you probably may ask, what is a test year? Well, we like to use the most recent audited financials. Usually we like to use the audited financials because most of the wrinkles are kind of ironed out and it's clean slate. For this case, we use the 2025 test year. What are known and measurable adjustments? Well, that is where we have proof or documentation that shows that XYZ has occurred already or will occur in the rate year. So it's not quite a budget. It's more than a budget. There's a higher degree of certainty and timing of the dollar amounts that will show up in the rate year. And along with it, we'd like to provide the evidence to prove it to the Vermont regulators that these costs are really going to happen. Some examples of the documentation are executed contracts or bond amortization schedules, invoices like health and dental vision insurance invoices. And the adjustments can be either up or down, and they're relative to the test year, and they define your rate, your revenue requirement. And they also add that they can be particularly burdensome, you know, for the member and VEPSA the staff to make that determination if something in fact is non-measurable, and to be able to gather that evidence to prove it. That's the hard part of the case. But it's worth it, because if the regulators don't see the evidence, they could take the money out of the case.
And I have to add that we did great by partnering and working together online, and then you two ladies came to the office and joined Sheila and I to get what was still missing or to answer questions. And I just thought that that was extremely helpful for us, and I hope that it was for you as well.
Definitely. Yes, that was very helpful for us as well. Yeah.
Great.
Thank you for taking the time to do that.
Yeah. No, thank you for being willing to come up here. I appreciate it.
Yeah, it was good. Fun to get in, actually.
Yeah. We gave you a good lunch recommendation.
Exactly. Yeah. So in the next slide, we have the test year revenue requirement, which is $3.5 million. So that's the test year retail revenue. And then the rate year revenue requirement comes up to $4.1 million. But that gets reduced by an amount from the mid-test year rate increase. I'll go into more detail in later slides about this, but that needs to be factored in, and it is. And it comes out to $4 million. So the net noted measurable adjustments to the cost of service amounted to $526,620. So that represents the additional revenue requirement, and we'll talk about all those pieces in the next slides. And that's how we get to the 4.73%. So the next slide, we have... These are all the pieces of the noted measurable adjustments. This is the adjustment summary, and the dollars attributed to each one of those. And we'll talk about those in the next slide. So hopefully you don't fall asleep while I'm talking.
You're good.
Okay. So the first one is changes in purchase power and hydro O&M costs. That amounted to $22,761. And that's made up of power supply resource costs going up $74,000, market and other costs going up $197,000, transmission by others that went down $255,000, and then the hydro O&M labor went up about $7,000. You can ask questions along the way if you want to. I didn't mention that part. And then the next one is changes in the Orleans contract costs. So this $32,000 represents, whoops, I keep going back and forth toggling with my slide, sorry. It reflects the 3.5% increase of the test year expenses based on the July 2026 approved increase that was approved. So basically, yeah, just test year expenses for that contract increased by 3.5%. Pretty straightforward.
Mm-hmm.
The next one is changes in the A&G costs. That one is a downward adjustment of $144,000. The first one, this is the one that went down by the most amount. That's a non-recurring VEPSA management services amount. So that's because that amount was in the test year and it's not going to be in the rate year. So that we had to take that amount out of the test year for the rate year. The other one that went down was, the RES, the Renewable Energy Standard. Payroll, wages, wage increase, staffing changes from test year to rate year. That was a positive upward increase. Benefits, health, dental, vision. That was a slight negative adjustment. And then the MPAR was a positive increase. Those two almost washed each other out. Mm-hmm. Next slide. Changes in miscellaneous costs, that was only about $9,000 of the total adjustment. That's just taxes, short-term interest, and miscellaneous revenue. Miscellaneous revenue is just miscellaneous non-operating income, basically the Transco.
Mm-hmm.
That's what that is. Changes in long-term interest expense. This is the bigger 100 grand of the adjustment. This one is mainly the 2026 hydro loan that wasn't in the test year, that will be in the rate year. So that's that interest expense. And then some of the bond interest of the other bonds, two other bonds, is not allowed in this case. I think it's like bond number 5. Yeah, Vermont Municipal Bond 5. Only a portion is allowed in the case, and another one, none of it was allowed in the case. The interest was not allowed. Next one is changes in operating reserve. So this one's a big one, $253,000. So it's calculated based on 120 days of the rate year overhead expense. And this is to an attempt to allow Barton to build an operating reserve. So we'll see how that one goes.
And correct me if I'm wrong, Amanda, sorry. That's kind of what the department wants us to do, correct?
Right. Yep. We want it. They want it. But I think it's still a question of how much is going to be allowed. I don't really know. Steve, do you know?
This is an adjustment the department's encouraging us to make, really, in all our rate cases right now. They've kind of realized that the municipals, like any bigger company, you need to maintain an operating reserve for when something goes south, whether it's market costs that go crazy in cold winter, you know, whether it's a problem at the hydro, which affects your economics, whether it's a storm. Any company needs a reserve, and that's something that's been very hard to come by in the municipal utility world. And the department is encouraging this, and it's based on the idea that an appropriate reserve is about 180 days of O&M. For Barton, that measure would be like $1.2
million. Yeah.
What you see here is a fifth of that, because, I mean, if we put the whole $1.2 million in one case, it would be this right here, this $250,000 is roughly 7% of your 14% rate increase.
Yeah.
So five times, it would be like 30-something percent. It would be crazy.
Yeah.
All at once. The idea is over time, you need to build up to that level to be considered healthy by the department, by rating agencies, contract counterparties, etc.
Right. Thanks for that clarification.
So,
I knew that it's been discussed, and I just wanted to verify it with you, the experts.
Yeah.
Thank you.
The next one is changes in net income. So this is another big one. This is a $301,000 adjustment. It resets the test year, the negative $92,000 test year net loss to $208,000 rate year net income. So the rate year net income is just based on what they call this tier of 2.0, standard tier 2.0. But basically all that means is the rate year long-term interest expense. That's what the $208,837 represents. So this adjustment is just the difference between the negative $92,000 and the $208,000 rate year net income. Next slide. I think this is my last slide. Wow, already? Yes, I was talking fast.
You've done good.
Thanks. This is changes in retail revenue. So this is negative $48,000 of the adjustment. And it's kind of a tricky one. It reflects the rest of the 2025 mid-year rate increase. So because by the end of 2025 test year, Barton had not seen like a whole year's worth of revenue at the higher rates from the last increase. It reflects the rest of the months to make up a whole full year worth of retail revenue at current rates. So that Barton will be receiving or would have received or did receive by now, because it's been, what is it received by now? It would be basically it's the difference.
Yeah.
Yeah, it basically that represents a revenue increase that you would have had compared to the test year, whether you filed a rate case or not. It's a piece of revenue that kind of falls between the cracks because there's a gap between the end of the test year and the beginning of the rate year.
Right. Yes.
So,
explain it better than me. Thank you.
Well, there's a bunch of different ways to explain it. I mean, the way it's actually calculated, once you know your retail sales for the test year, what you do is you actually take your current rates. It's called revenue at current rates, is what you'll see in the exhibits. But you apply your current rates to that retail kilowatt hour for the full year. When you do that, you're actually picking up the full rate increase.
Okay.
The next step in that revenue calculation is you calculate revenue at proposed rates. So you basically what you're doing is you're creating a proxy base for what your test year revenues would have been if that rate increase had been in effect the whole year. So now you can apply your 14% to that number, and that gives you your revenue increase, all other things equal, in the rate year.
Okay.
I don't know if that was clear, confusing, or what.
No, I'm following you. Marilyn, are you?
Yes. Yep.
Yep.
I am.
She gets it.
Marilyn's seen this one a few times.
Yes.
Yep. And that's all I have.
Great.
The only question I have, and I'm sure I'm looking at it wrong, is I can't name the slide, but it's where the 301-699 of adjustment change in net income.
Yeah.
So
what's your question?
Well, you add those together for the net.
So it's the difference between the $208,000 rate year net income and the negative $92,000 test year net income, net loss.
Okay. So you
look at it this way. Look at it this way. You had a $92,000 net loss in your test year last year. Right?
Yep. Yep.
Now you're setting rates for a new year. Nobody in their right mind, if they can avoid it, is going to reset their rates and leave a $100,000 net loss in those rates. So the first thing you do is you bring it up to zero. And then the TIER calculation, which that acronym stands for times interest earned ratio, that basically exists to provide the municipal utilities with a coverage ratio for interest expense. So if you have debt, normally your lenders will require that you maintain a certain coverage ratio. Basically, it's to demonstrate that you have net income
net. Okay.
I ran out of thinking how to explain this. That ratio, the TIER calculation is meant to represent two times your interest.
Okay, but actually, so even though one is a negative and one's a positive, you're adding those both together to get the 301?
Yeah, because you're trying to eliminate the 92.
Okay.
So think of it as you're subtracting a negative 92 and you're adding a 208.
Yep. Okay.
If you hadn't had a net loss, your net income would be set at that $208,000 level,
mm-hmm.
which gives you net income. It's basically equal to your interest expense. The two times ratio comes from, in the way you do a cost of service, you're allowed recovery of the interest.
Okay.
And when you set your net income equal to the interest, it's in effect you're recovering that interest twice. That's kind of what it represents. And it's there to provide a cushion against default.
Okay.
You see it all the time in bond documents. Anybody that's borrowing money usually has to maintain some form of interest coverage ratio. It goes by various names. Some are calculated a little differently. Anyways, that's where the $300,000 comes from. It's to make sure you eliminate the previous year's loss, and you set your net income at that allowed standard level.
Okay, thank you.
You're digging out of a hole, basically.
Yep. And this does include
the hydro,
starting to make payments on that, on the money that we borrowed, which is.
I'm not hearing what's being said.
Can you hear me now?
Not really. I don't know why. That's weird.
It sounds like when you used to use 2 tin cans and a string.
Yeah, Marilyn.
Oh no!
I'll move her up closer to the mic.
So this does include, which it says that it does, is the hydro payments, the $100,176 to pay.
The hydro interest payments for the
yep.
new loan.
Yep.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yep. That's in there.
Okay.
Yep.
The other effect that's in here that isn't really obvious is that with the hydro back online for the full rate year, about half of your test year, the hydro was missing. So all those behind the meter benefits you were not realizing. And that's one of the reasons the power supply adjustment is fairly low, and that's why you see the big. Part of the reason you see the big negative adjustment for transmission by others.
Okay.
That hydro provides some peak shaving benefit. And the other piece of it is the new battery, the storage, the Orleans Barton storage, that provides a lot of peak shaving capability, and that's really pushing down your rate, your power costs.
Okay.
So with the hydro back online, that's really good news.
Yeah,
definitely.
Well, could I ask, if you didn't have it in the test year and now you have it, that would make your rates go down because it's cheaper, isn't it?
But we have, so the question was that now that we have it, the rate should come down cheaper, but because we have to base it off from the test year,
right.
those are the figures we have to use. Is that correct, Steve and team?
Is that in the context of the hydro?
Yes. Is
yeah.
that what you meant?
Not exactly. It's not going to... How do I put this?
There's never a guarantee. I mean, right now it's getting dry, and we've had to reduce. So we were at max power up until about a week and a half ago.
Right.
And so,
right.
you know, not that I
mean
want
that.
Rain because, you know, July 10th is right around the corner, but, you
yeah.
know, our hydro operator is every day bringing it down because there's just no water.
Right. And that's normal this time of year.
Right.
I mean, in a rate case, you look at hydro kind of on an average annual basis anyways.
Right.
And it's not that it's going to continue to make your rates lower. What it did is, in this instance, it depressed the need for a rate increase. And remember, the rate increases are calculated relative to the test year. So last year, with the hydro not there, when that hydro's there, because it's a load reducer, it's behind the meter in effect, it reduces your load that has to be sourced through the regional power markets. And there's an awful lot of costs that go through those markets that are allocated to the utility based on their load. And so anytime that hydro is running, because it's not included in the load calculation for market purposes, it's reducing your load, and it reduces a whole slew of related obligations that follow load around. It's kind of like the opposite of an overhead adjustment, like on payroll. Maybe that's a bad analogy. Anyways, that reduction in cost that follows along with a behind-the-meter resource like that was not present in half of 2025. So your 2025 costs were abnormally high. Now, when we do power supply, the power supply piece of the case, you do project some things. There are certain aspects of the power supply calculation that it's more of a negotiated known and measurable. But where you have something known, like, well, the hydro was missing in 2025, but in the 26-27 rate year, you're going to have 12 months of production from that hydro. And that's, I think, based on a five-year average production figure. So you have all that production, that hydro production. One, it's low cost. It's low cost energy. I mean, there's no variable cost there. It's all fixed. But it also reduces your load obligation across the range of market costs. So that being there in all of your rate year made this rate increase lower than what it would have been. Of course, in a rate case, you're assuming that the costs that you added up and the cost of service that ultimately get approved will be what actually happens during the rate year, right?
Right.
So if you've assumed a five-year average of hydro production and all that implies, rain at the right time or not, you know, water doing what it does, you assume all those things come true. And so all other things equal, that hydro has reduced the need for a rate increase in this context. I don't know if that helped or hurt.
I'll work with it.
He says he'll work with it if you didn't hear him. It's all good, Ed.
Okay.
It's all good. So I have a question related to, so ultimately we're going to discuss this, approve, disapprove this rate increase, right? We move forward. You're saying it can be effective as of September 1st, 2026 on services rendered in July, assuming that you guys file on the 16th. So at our last rate case, we asked for 5.21% and the department only allowed 4.12. So we ended up having to do a 90.9% refund. That was not a simple task with our current billing system, Eldorado, especially when it came to our solar net metering accounts.
Yep.
I guess my question is, is it based on how the tariff's written, or is there a department PUC rule? Do we have the option of not charging effective September 1st, 2026, pending the final approval? Can we then go back and do an adjustment for the approved rate going back to September 1, 2026? Or do we have to do, you can't. So you either do it now and then deal with the refund later, or you don't do it at all.
Yeah. And you wait till you get your order and then you implement as of the date of that order usually. So by waiting, you're going to forego 7, 8, 9 months of revenue somewhere, because it's always a little uncertain exactly. Even when you have worked through everything, all the process, and you have agreement with the department that the number should be X, it takes a while for the commission to get around to issuing a final order. You have to wait for that final order before you can implement. So there's a period of time. I've seen it be a month. I've seen it be 2.5 months.
A year.
A long time.
Yeah.
In some cases, it's really unpredictable. But yeah, those are your two choices.
Okay.
I've had people suggest, gee, can I just implement half kind of as a hedge? But you know, if you have to refund $1, it's as much work as if you have to refund $100,000. And no, it's not allowed anyways. So you can either implement it.
Then why did you say it?
Or not.
I was thinking, hey, that's doable, but never mind.
Yeah.
All right, well, I guess you answered my question there, because we'll just have to, El Dorado's going to have to work with us, or we'll have to do it as a manual process like we did before. It was.
El Dorado should be able to do that.
They couldn't with the net metering accounts. They had to do it manually. They were able to implement it for all the other customers. So the regular customers.
I think probably if they just show us what they did, we can
do it ourselves.
Put our heads together and figure out what needs to be done.
Yeah. I mean, it's a pain, but we've got, 70-something? We'll just have to figure it out, because we can't not collect that revenue.
Right.
So,
Steve, my other question is, how many, just so people listening and know that it's just not Barton Electric, how many rate cases are you doing this year?
Well, let's see. So far this year, we've done 1, 2, 3, you're the fourth, two more coming in August, that's 6, and one in October, that's 7, and that's what's known right now. There could be more before the end of the year.
Okay. So it's just not Barton Electric that this is hitting.
No.
Okay.
It's pretty much across the board. They're all fairly large. And for the most part, I mean, Swanton's an exception because that was really big, but they had that problem with their hydro. But it's mainly power supply and payroll.
Yep.
And medical costs that are driving the majority of it.
Yep.
For everybody.
Yeah.
Thank you.
That and the addition of the operating reserve.
Yeah.
Okay. My question was answered.
Yep. No, I don't have any more questions. And
Jacqueline, Ed, do you have questions?
Not anymore.
Not
after
anymore.
That one.
All good.
All right. So, it's nobody likes to see fees go up. However, we did do the $3 million hydro project upgrade, which is also part of this. BEPSA has done a thorough job at figuring out what Barton Electric needs. The department is encouraging, as we discussed, to build a reserve. We had that meeting with Sean Enterline. And it was I think it was good that they went around to all the munis, and there's many munis in the same boat, and this was their recommendation. And so, at this point, I don't think we have any other option.
No,
the department's aiming at your long-term health, really, is what they're trying to get
all
the munis set up for.
Right.
They're finally recognizing that munis have been, relatively cash-starved.
Yeah. So at this point, I'm comfortable in saying that I am making a motion to approve the Barton Electric 2026 rate case with a rate increase of 14.73%, as just discussed and presented by our VEPSA team.
I'll second that.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Motion passes. What do you need from me? Anything?
Ultimately, we might be asked by the department for a copy of the resolution approving the rate case.
Okay, I can get you the minutes as soon as we get them.
Other than that, I think, correct me if I'm wrong, Amanda, we have everything we need, as long as nobody finds a mistake and needs to change the numbers.
Okay.
Should be good.
All right. Are you good with draft meeting minutes, or do they need to be the approved minutes? Because those won't be until July 28th.
I think we can wait for that, for the final ones. They'll ask for those in discovery. And, of course, once we file, 45 days is going to go by before the department orders an investigation. And then it's a few more weeks before discovery starts, and that's when you'll get the question. You know, they'll say, provide us proof that the trustees approved, or board of commissioners, or whatever you call yourselves these days.
Trustees.
Is it still trustees?
Yep.
It's changed for some of the utilities. It's hard to keep track of. We have too many different.
And then I think until the minutes are finalized or approved, you'll have this recording that we could always,
right,
you know, put forth too, if needed.
Yep.
I'll
send you the draft minutes, and then once they're final approved, I'll send you those as well.
It's fine.
Okay.
I'll work.
Perfect. Thank you so much, everybody. I appreciate the hard work and collaboration. It's been fun.
Nobody loves the rate case.
No, that's for sure.
There's more than enough. There's just enough pain to go around for everybody.
Yes. Yep. For sure. But I appreciate it. So I will let you go on with the rest of your evening. So thank you again.
Alrighty.
Thank you.
Have a good night.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. Have a good night.
You too. Bye-bye.
What, you put this in for to be effective in September?
Yeah, I didn't hear you. Oh, well, I've got notes all over mine. I'll get you a copy.
No, that's all I didn't do.
It just says effective September 1st, 2026.
Okay.
Yep. Very first. After the cover.
Okay.
I got this probably about 2 hours ago. Otherwise, I would have sent it to you.
No, quite all right. I am encouraging people to go to the recording when we have such detail.
Perfect. I'll get the recording downloaded by the end of the week anyway, so that'll be fine.
So it's to be effective 9/21.
I think you can start charging it 45 days after you file it. So I'm thinking September 1st is 45 days after filing.
July 16th.
It would be, if it's effective September 1st, it would be your October bill, because it would be your September usage.
Right, because we're a month behind.
Yeah.
Yep.
I think
you're right.
And this is assuming the PUC approves the 14.
We can start charging this amount.
Yes.
Yep.
Yes.
And then they'll do whatever they need to do. It might take 6 months. It might take whatever. And they might come back and say, no, we want to do a 14.72%.
Yeah.
Is that escrow? It's held in escrow until they approve?
No.
Just the increased part? No.
So on the invoices, it will show up. What happened last year was our billing system implemented it as a surcharge line, I think is what it was called. So then we knew how much was charged, and then we had to go back and make the changes after the fact.
Okay.
Which is why I asked, because it was...
Then you asked.
Very difficult, or not easy. But.
You're exactly right.
Yeah. Okay. Bills and warrants.
I've looked them over, and I will make a motion to accept the bills and warrants as presented.
I will second. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Motion passes. Liens. There is a new lien to file in the town of Barton land records. This is for the property located at 1648 South Barton Road. noticed that it is in the paper and as a foreclosure that's coming up very soon. And there's an electric balance due in the amount of $436.43. So I'd like to get that filed in the event that the foreclosure auction goes through, that we are covered to get those past due amounts collected. The second one is a lien discharge. I am very happy to report and, again, emphasize that it's nobody likes to have to place liens on properties, but in this situation, it was very much needed and necessary, and I believe it's been a good practice for us to take up and do. This lien discharge is for the lien that we placed at 99 Candle Lane in Brownington with a past due amount of $23,323.57.
Oops, that again, 23,000 how much?
$23,323.57.
Is that electric? Is that utilities?
Electric.
Just electric, though.
Just electric. So this lien made it so that when this property sold, they had to pay us off, and we got that check this week. It's in your...
That's wonderful.
It's in your packet. So we just, once we sign this, I've got to get it sent to the lawyer that's handling the sale, and they are even going to record it and file it on in the town records so that they can, this is in Brownington, so that they can proceed with the sale.
Great job.
Thank you. Thank you. It's working.
I feel bad for the property owner, but... We have to, so I think this was a rental situation.
It was. It was not a good situation for the property owner. Very, very nice person. We've communicated openly during the account, trying to collect and whatnot. And they flew in from California not that long ago because the house had been vacated and they were able to proceed with the sale, and they said, we're going to make good on it. And I said, well, I was very upfront. We had to place a lien, and they totally understood. Mm-hmm. So,
how many years would it take to accumulate $23,000?
It was 2.5-3 years.
That's all. With
yeah.
Any electricity in the winter?
They had what I believe was a cannabis growing business, so they were protected under different things that the department allows as far as it being agricultural, as far as, medical notes, doctor's notes, that sort of thing.
All right, I got to wrap my head on that one.
Oh, I did many times.
You keep the power on so that you can stay safe out of the elements and stay warm. You can understand it as a human need. But do you need to run a cannabis growing operation?
This person was receiving medical notes to provide the protection.
All right. Watch who you rent to.
Yeah.
We'll leave some of this out.
So I will make a motion to place a lien on 1648 South Barton Road in Barton and release a lien on 99 Candle Lane in Brownington, Vermont.
I will second. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Motion passes.
Sign on the right one.
Yeah. I didn't even notice.
Because sometimes in the middle.
You
thing.
Did.
Yeah.
I test you guys. I move it all around.
Yeah.
All right. I added Vermont Trappers Association request on here. I apologize. When I originally did the agenda, I missed this email. I received from Ben Vassier, who is the Windsor County Director of the Vermont Trappers Association. They are once again wanting to hold their annual rendezvous at the fairgrounds on September 19th and 20th. They're requesting a waiver to allow discharge of firearms, muzzleloaders, and .22 caliber rifle handguns only on Saturday, September 19th and Sunday, September 20th. Shooting will not begin before 8:45 a.m. on Saturday or 9 a.m. on Sunday, and will be done by 1:30 p.m. on both days. They have provided us with their insurance certificate of insurance liability coverage policies. They also have a range safety officer who will be present to oversee their shooting event, as they have every year. Additionally, they are requesting to approve small campfires that are contained in fire pit type arrangements on the evening of Friday 9/18 and Saturday 9/19, because they have a lot of participants and visitors that camp. So this is a new request for them, but I think it's, you know, just they are wanting to cover and protect themselves and whatnot. They're not having huge bonfires. This is just small campfires by their campers or tents. So I added to your packet their advertisement that's going to be going in the papers for their event, the letter from the Secretary Treasurer of the Vermont Trappers Association, and then the Certificate of Liability Insurance Coverage, as well as Ben's request letter. I took our approval letter that we did from the previous year, edited the dates, and then added the request to have small campfires contained in fire pit type arrangements onto the letter if the board should decide to approve the request. I don't see why we wouldn't. It's something that's traditionally been done. I've never had any complaints or issues, and I think it's great that they're coming to our area still.
Yes, I agree.
Okay.
Yep.
So with that being said, I'm going to make a motion to approve the Vermont Trappers Association's request for their rendezvous on September 19th and 20th.
I will second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Motion passes. I will get this letter off to him tomorrow. Thank you. Okay. Next we have, I added water and wastewater adjustment approval. So we had discussed at our last meeting, I believe, the issue where we had found some discrepancy on some certain, water and sewer accounts that were inaccurately billed. Sheila and myself, so we came up with a plan. Well, first we drafted the letter. And then to go out to those customers that this is going to affect. And this letter did go out in the last billing cycle, which was at the end of June. So June 30th, I believe, is when they went out. There's multiple issues going on regarding water, sewer, invoicing, and so forth. One issue is I asked our water sewer manager and our DPW foreman to team up this last month and go door to door, house to house, pad to pad, to see which meter was reading through the sensor pad, which was not, which didn't have a meter, which didn't have a sensor pad, because we were finding that there was a good, I'm going to say probably 40 to 50% of our accounts that were being adjusted or averaged and not getting actual readings. So what we did was we had the meter readers go out and do it basically with a gun, but on paper, and they wrote down the meter number, the meter reading, and then they highlighted those that they had problems. And then those that had problems, we put in work orders so that they could go in and determine if it was a sensor pad issue, a wiring issue, a meter issue. Those stop orders have been put into the system. They have been working on some. This goes back to the need of getting new meters, getting new sensor pads, and so forth. I did authorize them to order, I think, 20 meters just to get us started so that if they could go in, because they were finding meters that were completely frozen and broken, not working at all.
Mm-hmm.
We need to get accurate readings so we can accurately bill.
Mm-hmm.
When looking at the discrepancies, Sheila went through the accounts and found some commercial accounts, apartment accounts that didn't have the correct units, that didn't have the correct base rates and so forth applied to them. So we've gone through the accounts for commercial and apartments one by one, created this spreadsheet that I've given you a copy of to determine what accounts were, how they were billed, how they should have been billed, and then what the difference was. There are some accounts that are going to get a credit or an adjustment on their bill. There are some accounts that are going to receive an additional billed amount that's due. We went back and only looked at, I think we had decided we're going to go back from January 2026 through May 2026 because the June 2026 billing was accurate because we went one by one and we did it manually. And then the rates, the system was corrected so that the rates are now correct for this last billing cycle. So Sheila and I finished up this project yesterday. And because the rebill amount is pretty significant, we felt that it would be wise to get board approval to make these adjustments on these accounts. That are going to go out in next month's bills, so the end of this month. So this will be for July's usage that they'll get billed in August. Again, those accounts that are going to be affected got our letter, our pre-letter saying that they're going to notice a difference in their next month's bill. So it's, you know, it took us a little bit to be able to get these figures. It's going to take us a little bit to make the adjustments, and so we're looking to get approval so that we can accurately do the July billing at the end of the month for August 1st.
Okay.
And it's unfortunate.
Yeah.
It's unfortunate. So before we had decided to go back to January 2026 through May 2026, I actually bounced it off from our attorney. And he said, you could actually go back 6 years. I think we felt that's wrong. And so we just felt so that our budget for this year doesn't get totally blown out of the water, no pun intended. We safely should go back to January 1 so that it's as accurate as possible. You know, and in the letter, it does say that, you know, we realize it's going to, could cause a hardship on some that, you know, their amounts, their difference is quite significant that, you know, to work with us, we're not going to charge them interest. We'll set you up on a payment plan. You know, some of these accounts were quite large, you know, apartment buildings, multiple units. They had a bill, and I'm just throwing out numbers that routinely were like $3,000. And then for the last couple of months, 3-4 months, all of a sudden it was $250. I don't know that we got calls on it. I don't know if they just paid the bills. I don't know. But.
And just so people know that we have got, we're working on safeguards and that type
absolutely.
Of thing.
Absolutely.
Not to have this occur again.
Absolutely. Absolutely. There will be, you know, we've discussed with Eldorado how this possibly could have happened. It's an unfortunate thing, but rates will not be touched unless it's done by myself or Sheila.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and adjustments need to be approved now. Sheila created an adjustment request sheet for the entire office to use. So what happened was, what initially brought this to our attention was we had customers come in last billing cycle, so a month and a half ago, that said, and I think we've talked about this before, there's no way I went through 19,000 gallons of water. And we're like, no, that doesn't make sense. And so, you know, we just started looking into it. We're like, well, how did this happen and what else is incorrect? And we found that the billing report from the previous month and to that last month was off like $8,000. And so we're like, there's just something not right about this. And, you know, we found the issue, the error. And it just looks like rates got changed at some point along the way, back to probably, I think it was January. How or why, nobody really knows or can explain. But that's where things were calculated incorrectly, which is why we're only going back as far as January.
Mm-hmm.
But yes, we absolutely have implemented safeguards. So in that situation, that person came in and said, there's no way I had 19,000 gallons and whatnot.
But you went out and at that point read it and it was incorrect.
Well,
right.
So the customer was asked to go and read the meter and give us the numbers. But in the end, we found out about it and sent our guy out,
mm-hmm,
to read it again to figure out that, yeah, there must have been an error. So as we started,
right,
looking into it more, then we saw on the account there had been an adjustment that neither Sheila or I knew about. Without
because
our approval.
In reality, though, if you have a leaky toilet,
it could happen.
It could happen very, very quickly to 19,000 gallons.
It could, but when the second reading was done,
right,
there's absolutely no way that that couldn't have happened.
Right.
Yep. Yes, yep. And there were a couple more that came in with that same question. I can't believe that I went through that many. We went back out. We did a lot of rereads.
Mm-hmm.
We fixed them.
Mm-hmm.
But that's what opened up this, you know, we had to dive in deeper,
mm-hmm,
to say what's going on.
Well, it does make a little sense as well, because our budgets have been short a little bit.
Yes.
It's like, and it's
things
just hard
were,
because you don't know if it's people are using a lot less water, like where is the shortage coming up?
Exactly. Exactly. So from a budgeting standpoint as well,
right,
it's an unfortunate matter,
mm-hmm,
that's, you know, we're still working on, and we're correcting. This is the next step in that correction. And, you know, Sheila, as finance manager, said, you know, I would just feel a little bit more comfortable getting board approval,
yep,
because
no,
it's such a large amount.
Is this a two-tiered approach, commercial buildings and multi-unit apartments first, and then homes?
Yep. Residential's not
residential,
so when... So Sheila and I talked about that, about whether or not we needed to dive into the residentials much. And we felt that we didn't, because when we went through, we manually went through, it was 23 pages long of all of our users, what the pre-read was, what the final read was, where that we
like
researched. Right. We researched,
yep,
the history, looked at thing, you know, there were some numbers that were off that didn't make sense. There were some incidences. What we then did was we took like their last 6 months. If we didn't actually know, we just did an average. So what we know now is what's in the system is what was read this last time. So moving forward, when we read, it's going to be accurate.
Yeah.
So as far as residential goes, they're fine. It was the commercial accounts and then the apartments.
Yeah.
There were, the issue with the apartments was that the, units, am I saying that right?
Right, if you have a,
unit,
right, they were just getting charged one unit.
One base charge,
one base
where they
charge.
Should have been getting two or however many units they have.
Yep. Makes sense.
Yeah. Yeah, we did have a couple of accounts that had the 10 multiplier, or should have had the 10 multiplier on them, and they didn't. We had accounts that had zero usage, that should have had usage. So, you know, we're just, those we can't go back because we don't really know. You know, but this brings to light the need to have our meters replaced, and go, you know, which is why it took the two guys pretty much a whole week to go house to house to house to say, this is working, this isn't working. And when they came back each day and 50% of the pages were highlighted, it was, we knew we had a bigger issue. Well, we knew we had the issue, we just didn't realize how big.
Yeah. And it's hard to, there's just so much going on. Like, at some point, I would like to look into why have commercial and residential. You know, what
absolutely.
Is the difference
we
there
need a simpler rate system.
Just seems like everything is just a little bit more complicated here than it needs to be.
No, I agree. Actually, so I had a meeting with Aldridge and Elliott last week on our asset management plan, and that was one of their recommendations, is that our rate schedule is just too convoluted, that, you know, you need to be consistent. You know, your base rates are where you're guaranteed. You're not guaranteed
right.
on your usage.
Right.
So that we can, you know, have similar to
right.
our electric
and make,
department.
Right, and make
the
finances.
Nightmare
too.
Exactly.
If people, you know, if you put so much on usage and then they can cut back.
Right.
You know.
Or they sell or they move.
But we
or,
need
yeah.
X amount of dollars to run these departments.
Exactly.
You
and
know?
That was what their recommendation was
right.
from the engineers.
Yeah. No, I agree.
So that's definitely something on the radar for a future agenda item to
yep.
look at our rate schedule for water and sewer and go from there.
Yep.
So
sounds like a plan. So I will, I've looked these over and you guys have put a lot of work into this. So I will make a motion to approve the commercial account and apartment accounts to the corrections for water and sewer to be made.
Okay. I will second. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Motion passes. So we'll get started on that. Thank you. Department operation updates. I don't really have anything. Of course, we just met last month. I just told you briefly about the asset management plan meeting I had with Aldridge and Elliott. Went very well. We're 90% done on our report. So we're close to getting that wrapped up. There's now a requirement that there's three classes that we need to attend as part of that $50,000 forgivable loan.
Mm-hmm.
I went to one class last week. We've got one more at the end of this month, and then the third one is in August. And so I'm just traveling to Montpelier to that. I'm going to sign up for, I wanted to go to the one in St. J. tomorrow, but I can't because I got picked for jury duty. But I think there's one in October in Morrisville. They're going to be doing a seminar or training on setting your rates.
Mm.
I want to attend that.
Absolutely.
So,
yep.
Village Department, no big updates here in the office that I can think of right now. Highway, nothing new to report since last week. Water, I just did the asset management plan. Wastewater, I may have to hold a special meeting before the 28th to discuss our project and USDA funding. I'm just waiting to hear from Mike Maynard. So there'll be more information to come on that. There's a deadline date of August 14th, and we may need to make some project changes, but I will forward an email once I get everything in line with Mike and then set up a meeting if I need to.
Okay.
Electric, we just did the rate case meeting with VEPSA. I think that's it. I had a meeting today with Kim Harris with VEPSA, who's in charge of the IT department in the state of Vermont, because I had enrolled us up with the SLRP grant that the state is providing for cybersecurity to migrate us over to a .gov address. So I had the kickoff meeting today. They anticipate it's going to be a 3 week to a month project. So we have a questionnaire that's supposed to be coming that Kim and I have to answer. Then the project will officially start. So that's going to be happening. It's not really going to require too much other than maybe, I think we're going to have weekly meetings for about an hour. And they said it'll probably take me an hour's worth of work a week of just to get them the information they need to make that migration. So that's in the works. Other business. I don't have anything.
I don't have anything.
I don't have anything.
Well, that's good. Jacqueline, do you have anything?
I'm good.
You're good? Okay. Other items. I don't have anything. I don't have a need to go into executive session. So I am going to say that our next upcoming regular meeting is scheduled for July 28th at 6 p.m. Following that is August 11th at 6 p.m. There may be that special meeting before the 28th once I hear from Mike Maynard from Aldridge and Elliott regarding the wastewater project. More to come on that. So it is now 7:06 p.m. I'm going to make a motion to adjourn.
I'll second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Motion passes. Meeting is adjourned. Thank you.